Hey guys and gals, this is Trevor with Carrot coming at you with an episode of the Carrot Cast. And I'm actually in my office right now in Roseburg, Oregon, where Care HQ is, looking out my window, and I'm actually looking at a gray sky, which those of you looking at, I mean, depending on the time of the year, you're going, well, how is that unusual since you live in Oregon? I'm recording this in September, you know, it's been crazy hot here. We've had so many days in the triple digits, which is way out of our norm. Our state has just been ravaged by wildfires, and there's been a bunch of wildfires surrounding Roseburg. First one's, you know, 15 miles from my house, and we've been in nothing but thick smoke, some of the worst air quality in the entire country, according to all the air quality websites. We were in the hazardous zone for about 2 weeks where it was thick smoke, ash falling on our cars for weeks, and we got rain 2 days ago, and we got rain again yesterday, and the skies are gray, and it's not smoky anymore. So that's so sweet. We're excited about it, and we're insanely hopeful that those fires will get put out, and we can have an amazing fall, and we can get back up on the river. We can get back up there and go fishing and go hiking and mountain biking. Speaking of that, Carrot Camp. At the time I'm recording this, we have Carrot Camp Mountain Edition happening. If you're listening to this later in the year or sometime 2018, 2019, 2020, whenever, Carrot Camp, go to carrotcamp.com and check out our next Carrot Camp. It's a retreat that we do. We pick a different theme each time to get out and get you outdoors or get you experiencing something around the Umpqua Valley or around Oregon, the area we love so much. And this one's Mountain Edition. We're getting up in the mountain, the river, going fly fishing, mountain biking, and we're going to get a lot of work done, really implement things for you in a massive way here in the office and masterminding. So carrotcamp.com, check it out. If it's still up for this season, go grab your ticket. If it says it's sold out, then it's sold out. All right, sweet. So this episode right here, I'm really excited about because it's based off of a conversation that I had recently with some friends of mine. So we were at the park after playing with the kids and after baptisms for some of the people in our church, and we went there to watch it and encourage them. And we all decided to stay and just hang out. We hung out with our families. There were four families there. Kids were playing, and we just sat there until it was almost dark here in the summer in Oregon, which it gets dark pretty late in summers here in Oregon. And we just talked. And one of the questions that came up from one of my friends, he actually works at the church. He's a pastor there, young guy, mid-20s, but he's a real estate investor. So the first time I ever met him was actually online on biggerpockets.com. He reached out to me and said, "Hey, I see you're in Roseburg too. I am too, and I'm a real estate investor. Let's connect." And just so happened to be him and I had already met. We just didn't know it. We didn't know each other's names. He's at the church that we go to once again, and he's a great dude. And he's on his own journey. He owns rental properties, and he's really looking to grow things and figure things out. And he asked the question. He said, "You know, you seem like you have some level of success. You know, what is the one thing? What's that one thing that you attribute that to?" And I think we've all wondered that question. We've all asked that question about people that we look up to or admire, or that seem like that they're in a spot where we want to go in whatever part of our life that we're looking to improve. In this perspective, he's looking on the professional side. And the thing is, oftentimes, I think we all realize it, that usually there's not one thing. Usually it's a series of things. Usually it's a series of things that have to unfold in certain timing, in certain order, where it finally makes sense for you and it finally unlocks that next step for you. Because I'm going to walk you through my exact seven, actually eight steps that took me where I am today. And I'm going to walk you through those. I'm going to list them out here. You can write them down. You can see exactly where I started, the exact things that had to unlock in my life, or things that I had to go out there and unlock to advance me to the next step. And that's what I hope this does for you, is help you identify what are those next steps, where are you now, what's that block, and what do you have to unlock? What do you have to change within you to unlock that next step in your life and in your profession and your income, whatever it is? All right. So I'm going to start at the beginning. Actually, let me reverse. I'm going to start where we are right now to give context, okay? And where I am right now, I've got a beautiful family, three kids, 3, 5, and 7. Beautiful wife. We bought a home that will be our dream home. It's not yet. We're renovating it. And it's on the river here at the North Umpqua. I've got a few acres, and it's just an amazing place. We love it. And Man, I couldn't ask for much more in life. You know, I have a great team here, really, really good business. We're highly profitable. We're doing millions and millions a year in revenue, insanely profitable. That's not the important part. That's the byproduct of doing the business, of doing business the way that we have, based on core values, based on helping our clients succeed, which is number one. And based on building a business that we wanted to build, that we would have fun, that would be fruitful for us and our clients, that would be stable and strong, and the revenue and profit and multi-seven-figure income per year as a result of that. And I'm highly grateful for it. But that's not where I started. So now let me circle all the way back. Graduated college in 2006 in Southern Oregon at a college called Oregon Institute of Technology. Amazing school, just not for what I went there for. I went there for marketing entrepreneurship, and it's not a marketing entrepreneurship school yet. We're working on turning it into one. It's an amazing engineering school, amazing computer science school, amazing health science school. Okay, so graduated there. My wife and I moved up to Portland. At this time, I didn't really know what I wanted to do in life. I didn't really want to be an entrepreneur. My parents were entrepreneurs. They had small businesses in the town that I grew up in. And what I perceived as an entrepreneur is someone who slaved away. They worked their butts off for their business, nights and weekends, things like that. And my dad and mom are some of the hardest workers that I know. And they really set that tone for my work ethic. But it also set the tone for some things that I noticed. I'm like, well, I love these things, but I'm also going to take cues on these and try not to do that if I ever have the chance to start a business. And so that led us up to Portland after I graduated. My wife and I graduated from the same college. We got married shortly after. Moved up to Portland for her school. And it was during that time, that phase, I'd already owned some rental properties by that time, bought my first one as a junior in college, a fourplex there in the town that we live in. I still own that one. It's still been profitable. It was profitable from day one. And we moved up to Portland. I gave myself a year to figure it out, okay? And it wasn't a gap year. It wasn't a year. I wasn't saying, hey, I'm going to take a break and go find myself. It wasn't a year where I was going traveling. It was a year where I said, you know what? I think the biggest risk I could take in my life is by not taking a chance right now. And that's step number one. Write this down. The first step, and I'm going to motor through them right now for you. Okay. The first step, flip your risk profile. Second step, go giver. Third step, insanely great at marketing. Fourth step, declutter and focus. Fifth step, shift purpose. Sixth step, unique ability. Seventh step, leadership phase. And I'm going to dive deep into each one of those in this next 30 minutes. All right, so I had to flip my risk profile. And that's one of the key things I think high achievers have to do, or they have already done, or they were born that way. I don't know what it is. But we tend to look at risk differently. We get so many people coming to us here at Carrot, or friends of mine or family members of mine who want the end result. You want the end result, but you're not willing to take the risk to get there. Okay. And whether you have a job, whether you have a job that you like or enjoy, or it's just one that kind of traps you or it's comfortable, a lot of people look at risk in this way. They go, I've got a job that's paying me well, has good benefits. I like it okay, or I dislike it, but it's safe and it's paying me benefits. To them, the biggest risk is by doing something different. The biggest risk is to jeopardize that current safety net that they have. The biggest risk is to go take a chance on themselves and give up this safety net that they have there holding them up. For me and many other people, maybe even you, we look at risk the opposite. I look at risk as in, oh my gosh, what's guaranteed to happen if I don't do this? What's guaranteed to happen in my life if I don't do this? What's guaranteed to happen in my business if I don't do this? And I look at risk that opposite way. So if I was in that position, or I guess I was in that position graduating from college, I said, man, the biggest risk I can take is by going and getting a job right now, by not getting a job. You know, what's the worst thing that can happen is if I can't figure this entrepreneurship thing out this year? Well, I can't pay my rent bills. Got to put things on a credit card. Got to move in with my parents, maybe. Go into debt. Have a bad credit score. I mean, that stuff sucks. It definitely sucks. But for me, that was a lot less painful than looking at myself in 10, 20, 30, 40 years and not taking that chance on myself. So number one, flip your risk profile. You've got to look at risk as an opportunity. You've got to look at risk in over the long term, not the short term. What are you currently risking in your life because you chose not to take a chance? Okay. And what do you still have? Because you're choosing not to take that next step or not to take that chance. All right, flip the risk profile. So later in that year, I was digging in, trying to be an entrepreneur, trying to use these quote unquote skills that I had learned from college in entrepreneurship and marketing. I soon found out I knew nothing about either. Okay. I knew nothing about either. So I was fortunate enough to have my uncle. He said, "Hey, I'd love to have you do some work for me." So I was doing some work for a mortgage brokerage company that my uncle Larry worked for. And I was cold calling Craigslist leads. I was helping him process a lot of stuff on the loan side of things. I was helping him do some marketing. I was helping him tweak some offline marketing. And then he walked over one day and he said, "Hey, pull this up in Google." And this would have been about 2007. "Pull this up in Google." And he said, "Search this." And it was like Portland Mortgage Companies or something. He said, "How do I get there?" And he pointed to the top of the Google rankings. He said, "Can you get me there?" I'm like, "Well, I have no clue. But yeah, I'll let me look at it." By that time, I had already started blogging online about what I was doing with my rental properties. You know, just the basic stuff I was learning as a low-level landlord. And so I started to learn how to put content online. I started to learn how to craft a message that people would read and they would enjoy it. I started to learn how to put content on a website to where it got ranked for Google, ranked in Google for phrases that people were actually searching. I started seeing people come to my website. And it was all on accident, but it was also organic. I was just doing it because I'm like, well, what if I tweak this? Will I get more people to see my message? And so I had this base level knowledge, but I still didn't really know SEO. The rankings I had got up to that point were trial and error, some of them by accident, maybe one or two of them, like, oh, I think I know how I got there. So that spurred me on to really study. That spurred me on to study in a big way. And I started to learn how to rank websites on Google. I started to learn how to convert a visitor into a lead during that year and a half. But what I did not learn how to do was sell a service. I didn't know how to sell a service. I didn't know how to go out there and create an offer that other people would buy. So I took this newfound knowledge of online marketing at the basic level, and I went to other people and I said, "Hey, here's this need. I see you could be here, and you're here in Google, and your website isn't really set up to really convert a visitor into a lead. I can help you." And so I would go and pitch a consulting contract to them. And man, I was just strikeout after strikeout after strikeout after strikeout. Okay. And I would every single one, I would lower my prices. Okay. Well, shoot, maybe it's the price. Let me lower the price in this next one. Or I would make a pitch and then they wouldn't be digging it. I'm like, well, what if we like do it for this price? I would always lower my price. And that's always the wrong thing to do, right? So what happened was halfway through the year, three quarters way through that year, I was getting really, really discouraged. I was getting really, really discouraged. And as you can imagine, when you're making offer, and them not getting accepted, no matter what business you're in, it can be really discouraging. So I came across this message. Can't remember where I first heard it. But then I read this book around that time that was about giving. And I can't really place specifically if I read this particular book I'm going to tell you about right now or if that was a couple years later. But I completely shifted my mindset from the let me get mine mindset to the go giver mindset. Okay, so go get the book Go Giver. And every single person listening to this episode of the Carrot Cast, if you listen all the way to the end, I'm going to give 10 people the opportunity to get that book for free. I'm going to ship it out to you for free. If you are one of the first 10 to go to iTunes, find Carrot Cast on iTunes and give us an honest rating and review. If you think we're a 1 out of 1 or 1 out of 10 and we suck, sweet, give me the feedback. And if you think we're a 5 out of 5, sweet, give me the feedback. But the first 10 after this episode are going to get the book shipped out to them for free. All you have to do is go give your rating and review over on iTunes and CarrotCast, and then email me, trevor@oncarrot.com. Say, "Hey, here's my rating and review that I left, and we're going to go check and see if it was one of the first 10. Let me know your mailing address, and we'll get it out to you for free. You won't have to pay shipping costs. First 10, all right? So one of the benefits there of subscribing on iTunes is you always get first access to the CarrotCast episodes by at least 1 week. So anytime I do these contests or these giveaways, you know, people who are actually subscribers on iTunes are going to be the ones that win them, okay? Because we don't even put these on our blog for a week to 2 weeks after it goes on iTunes. So you've got a full week's head start, and make sure you go over to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast and then give that rating and review and email me, trevor@oncarrot.com, that you did. And the first 10 will get you out that book for free when you give us the address, all right? First 10 only. All right, sweet. So switched over to the go-giver mindset. And what I did was I fundamentally changed the way that I marketed my business, the way that I approached life, the way that I approached business. instead of looking after out after opportunities on ways to get mine, even though I didn't have any money, you know, my first goal is like, I just need to earn $3,000 or $4,000 a month to pay my bills. So I went in credit card debt that first year, paid our taxes on my credit card that year because I didn't have any cash to do it. And the funny thing was, once I switched over to the go-giver mindset, it didn't matter. Like, I wasn't stressed out. I knew that I was going to somehow figure this out. I didn't know when. It wasn't oh my gosh, is this going to work? You know, if this works, it's going to work. It's just, when is this going to work? Is the only variable. I completely switched that mindset. Not if, but when was the only variable in my life as far as success went. And I went out there and I would be talking to people. I'd say, hey, you know, rather than pitching them a contract, I'm already not making money. Let me go instead pitch to do stuff for free for them. Okay. It'll help me learn. It'll get my foot in the door. It'll build value for them. And if it comes back to me, sweet, it comes back to me. What I found was it immediately came back. I would go in there. People would be kind of skeptical at first. Hey, well, you know, pitching them these ideas, and I think you can really improve this on your online marketing. Not really going to pitch anything. Like, I would love to just use this. I wrote this up for you. Use this instead, or adjust this on your website. You need to change these four things. Just go for it. I want to see you go crush it. Or hopping into a friend or family friend's website and changing things for them and mapping out a strategy for them and not asking for anything in return. And what happened when I switched to just give till it hurts from let me get mine is I got mine. Okay, things started to come back. People started to go, man, that was great work. Like, can you do more of that? And I want to pay you for it. I don't want you to do it for free. And how much would you charge? And they always wanted to pay me more than I was even going to do a consulting agreement for. Okay, that massively changed my world. And that got me to that $3,000 or $4,000 a month. I got me that $3,000 or $4,000 a month by giving, not by taking. All right, so change that mindset. That's number two, go giver mindset. Number three was every single successful entrepreneur that I know is either a great marketer or they have an amazing marketer on their team. Okay, they're either a great marketer themselves or they have an amazing marketer on their team. It doesn't matter if you make the best widget in the world, if you're the best negotiator in the world at real estate, if you love selling properties, if you're the best house flipper in the world as far as rehabbing, none of that matters if you can't market. If you're not a better marketer, you're going to lose. If your competition is worse at negotiation, if your competition is worse at rehabbing houses, if your competition is worse at making offers, but they're 10 times better at marketing, they're going to win. They're just going to win. So if you want to be a great entrepreneur, if you want to be great as a real estate investor or agent, you've got to be a great marketer. You've got to be a student of marketing. And that's what I turned into in 2007-08 was a student of marketing. I was absorbing everything that I could because I saw these results I was getting with these clients, these results I was getting with my own blog that I had started blogging about what I was doing in real estate. I'm like, man, if I can understand human psychology better, if I can understand how people react and interact with offers, with words, if I can understand people better, I think I'll be able to be a better salesman. And I'll actually be able to craft things that can better solve their problems. Like, it's not just about selling. It's not about selling. It's about being a great marketer is about giving. And that's going back to that go-giver mindset. Being a great marketer is not about taking. It's not about interrupting. It's not about that stuff. It's about giving. It's about providing value to that person and providing a gateway to a better future for themselves or eliminating pains, fears, and frustrations. That's what your marketing can do. So I dove in and I read book after book after book. I read this book. It was called Influence. I've got it on my shelf behind me. Highly suggest you guys read that book by Robert Cialdini. If you want to be a great marketer, you need to understand human psychology. And even if you don't want to be a great marketer, you should read this book because it's going to highlight what other people are doing to you. Okay, so influence can be used for great and it can be used for bad. You look at situations like dictators and things like that, they use influence for bad. But we all have to know what influences us at our core level so we cannot be influenced toward bad things. And we can also influence people towards the great solutions and the great things that we have to offer. So get that book. Influence, the Psychology of Persuasion is amazing. I dove into that. There's other psychology books I started to devour during that time because I'm like, marketing isn't about tactics. Marketing is about understanding your prospect, understanding their pains, fears, frustrations, and their desires, and then making sure that you deliver a message in front of them that makes sure that they know you can solve that for them. And then backing it up. Some of the best marketing you can do is by delivering and over-delivering for your client. Okay, so be a student of marketing. Go out there and start reading marketing books. Make it a monthly habit of reading a marketing book. One of the easiest books you could possibly read that is amazing. It was one of the first ones, the first marketing books I read, was one written by a guy named Mark Joyner called The Irresistible Offer. The Irresistible Offer. Go get it. I'm not even sure if it's in print anymore, but it was crazy simple. And it's one of the first things that helped me really wrap my mind around, okay, what is a good offer? And I'm not talking just an offer for real estate. I'm talking if you're selling anything, toilets, services, software, real estate, how do you craft a great offer? Get the irresistible offer, learn human psychology, become a student of marketing, and dive in. You know that you're becoming a great marketer when you are always looking at Facebook ads because they grabbed you. And you take screenshots of them and you put them on your website, or you take screenshots of them on your cell phone and go, man, that was a good ad. And you screenshot it so you can then learn from it next time and borrow from it. Or if you're reading the airline magazines and you see this ad that's in there 10 years in a row or 5 years in a row, and it's the same darn ad, you're like, in your mind, your marketer mind, I know that must be working because they wouldn't be paying for 5 or 10 years to put that ad in this magazine every single time. Why is it working? Let me rip that sheet out of that magazine. I'm going to take it back with me and put it in my swipe file, which I have a big old box in my office of great marketing pieces I've seen. Okay, create your own swipe file, become a great marketer. And we have a lot of marketing resources here at Carrot. The next thing is, I was going through that journey, I became a great marketer. I started to learn how to make great offers. We created a publishing company, and we made several million in revenue over those, you know, those 4 or 5 years of doing business. And we created a great product. We learned how to do great customer support. But what happened was, during that time, because I became a great marketer, everyone wants a piece of someone who can drive business. Everyone wants a piece of someone who is a good marketer. Your friends, your local businesses that you know, your colleagues, your customers, everyone all of a sudden sees you as their ticket to growing their business because they hadn't taken the time to become a great marketer, okay? And so what happened was, I had all these opportunities coming to me, consulting offers, consulting contracts, business opportunities where I could partner with people. We were starting to make good money because I became a good marketer. So then I started investing money into opportunities that I thought I could do. And what happened was, that period of my life, I've talked about it a lot, but that period of my life became one of the most unhappy periods of, not one of the most, became the most unhappy period of my life to date. It's about a 2.5 year period where, looking back, you know, some of these other lessons I'm going to be teaching you, these other steps that I had to go through on my path to success, whatever that success is that you deem, that I had to go through. I'll talk about this here in a bit. But, you know, what happened was, I started taking on way too many opportunities. I said yes to way too many things. I had so much clutter that I couldn't focus on any one big thing. So what happened was, all of those things started to suffer. My happiness suffered. I didn't feel like I had a purpose. I didn't feel like I was going in any direction in particular that was heading me in the right direction, or really truly helping a ton of people. And I had way too much to think on every day. You're waking up and thinking about these three businesses I had invested in, and these three businesses that I owned and was trying to run, and these other opportunities, and these two consulting contracts. So I had a friend of my brother's, really close family friend. He passed away early 30s. He was in his backyard gardening, you know, with his family, and they're planning out their retirement. They're planning out 20, 30 years away. And what they didn't know was, you know, he wasn't going to be there for dinner that night. And it hit me insanely hard at that time in my life, because, like I was saying before, sometimes unlocking those next phases in your life are about the timing of the events that happen. And that timing was, I mean, that timing was crazy, because I was in a spot where I wasn't grateful. I wasn't urgent. I wasn't urgently acting on the things in my life that I knew would make the biggest difference. I was doing a lot of things that were just making me busy. And that moment, along with a couple other shifts I had to make in my life, created massive urgency in me, created this thought through my brain that I had to recognize my mortality, that I wasn't going to be around forever. And if I kept on saying, I'm going to do that next week, I'm going to do that tomorrow, I'm going to do that next year, or I'll do that when this happens, or I'll be happy when this happens, or I will finally feel like I'm achieved when this happens, I finally had to say, you know what, let's be grateful for what's happening now. Let me recognize I'm not going to be around forever. And let me really, really focus, which leads us to point number 4. Let me really, really focus. Point number 5, let me really focus on one big thing this year. Okay. So let me recap. Flip your risk profile. Number one, be a go giver, not a taker. Number two, great at marketing. Number three, number four, I had to recognize my mortality and get urgency in my life. Number five, I had to declutter and focus on the big thing. I read this book called The Pumpkin Plan by Mike Michalowicz. If you go back in our CarrotCast archives, one of the first 15 podcasts on iTunes there, or if you go to carrotcast.com, is with the author of The Pumpkin Plan, Mike Michalowicz. And Mike wrote an amazing book with a simple, simple concept. And you can find the first chapter online. Just Google The Pumpkin Plan PDF. And the first chapter may be all that you need. Page 16 was all that I needed. And I shut the book. And I never opened it up since. And I reached out to Mike, the author, and I interviewed him. And I've interviewed him two other times since I did that year. Because this concept, I wanted to dig into it even more. Rather than reading the book, I wanted to talk to the guy who wrote it. And it's a simple concept. If you look at a pumpkin, they grow on vines. And you look at those people who grow those giant pumpkins in those contests, those pumpkin contests, they don't grow the giant pumpkins by doing it the way that most of us do it. Okay, most of us plant the seed, you water it. There's 15, 20, 30, 40 pumpkins on this vine. Some of them die. Some of them are weird shaped. There might be one that's kind of bigger than the other, but none of them are really, really big. Okay, and that's how all of us, or a lot of us, treat our lives. We have this one life or this one energy source, and we have it spread between all these different pumpkins. Some of them are really suffering. Some of them are kind of doing better, but none of them are doing great. And that's how I was. So that inspired me to go into my life and basically look at everything I was committing time and energy to. And I pumpkin planned my life out. I decluttered it and got focused. And when you start to trim off all the extra pumpkins and all the extra vine shoots, what happens is all of those resources, all that water, all the nutrients funnels towards that one, two, or three pumpkins. And they all get really, really big. And then those big pumpkin growers, as it gets closer to contest time, they recognize the pumpkin that's going to be the biggest. They trim off everything else on that vine, everything else but that one pumpkin, and then they keep on watering the heck out of it. And that one pumpkin just balloons up that last week or two. You can physically see it, they say, grow on an hourly basis almost. Okay. So that's what I did. That year I said, you know what? I haven't been focusing on things. I haven't really given myself a chance to do the best that I could do at anything in life, a husband, a father, an entrepreneur, friend, nothing. And this year, my purpose, my shift in purpose is going to be, focusing on this one thing. So declutter and focus. Decluttering also meant in your personal life. If your dresser drawers are messy, start folding those darn clothes. They clutter up your brain so you can't think about the big things. Your truck and car dirty, clean those up. They're decluttering yourself so you can't think about the big things. I decluttered that year and it opened up my brain to bigger things. And that helped me have a shift in purpose, which is number six, a shift in purpose. Okay, by that time, I was banging my head against the wall trying to find my purpose in life. I think many people do the same thing. And I invented purposes that I thought were it, but they really weren't it. Okay, and I think you can tell it's your purpose in life when every single thing you're doing every day is feeding into that purpose, whether you're thinking about it or not. You don't have to think about doing that. It just happens, okay? It just happens in the conversations and the ways that you're saying things. And I didn't really have a purpose. So I listened to a video by Eric the Hip Hop Preacher where he talks about basically wanting as bad as you can breathe. Find that video on YouTube. Eric the Hip Hop Preacher, as bad as you can breathe. Watch that video. And I recognized that I didn't want those things that I thought that I wanted as bad as I can breathe. And so I go, okay, what is it that I want? You know, where is it that I want to go? The biggest thing that I wanted was to give myself the satisfaction, my family and friends and my businesses, the satisfaction of knowing that I did the best I could possibly do for them at one, finally in my life. So that was my purpose that year. I said, I'm going to stop banging my head against the wall, trying to find my purpose and pressuring myself on the purpose. Get rid of that. That doesn't matter. I need to take care of the small things. And my purpose this year in 2012 and 2012 is to do the best at everything that I can do, the best that I can possibly do at everything, the big things, the little things. And I know that I can't do that unless I do fewer things, unless I'm intentional about it. And I've never focused on one business for an entire year, and I'm going to see what happens there. Okay. The problem was I didn't know what I was going to do. So going back to declutter, I got rid of my business partnerships, sold my shares in almost every business, tried to buy one business. He wouldn't sell me the shares, which is fine. He bought them back from me, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I had some consulting revenue coming in on the side. Had my real estate revenue coming in on the side from my passive income from properties. Okay. But I was like, okay, what am I going to do next? And out of this, because things became decluttered and because I didn't pressure myself on purpose anymore, this opportunity popped up, which became Carrot. I saw this opportunity that was sitting in front of me for years, this side business that I had had for years. It was sitting there and we had 100-some-odd people already kind of using this Frankenstein of a website kind of system that wasn't even very good at all. It was just a WordPress theme that we threw up on a server for them. And I saw this bigger market. I saw a bigger opportunity. I saw a bigger way that we could make an impact. And that turned into Carrot in 2013. Okay, none of that would have happened if I didn't flip my risk profile, become a go-giver, become great at marketing, recognize my mortality, declutter and focus on the big thing, which let the small thing, which let those big ideas pop up, shift my purpose. And then we started to grow Carrot. And I wrote down my 5 non-negotiables. If you have not listened to that episode of the Carrot Cast, go find it. It's called My 5 Non-Negotiables. And during that time, 2012, 2013, I sat down and wrote 5 non-negotiables based on the things I didn't like in my previous businesses. And I said, these 5 things have to happen in my next business. Otherwise, I'm not going to do it. And if it ever compromises it, I mean, I'm going to change them or shut the business down. So go listen to that episode of the Carrot Cast, my 5 non-negotiables. I dive into them deep. Those 5 non-negotiables were basically the start of my path with Carrot, the start of my path with changing the way that I do work, changing the way that I approach my life. And the big thing that I recognized from my previous work is I was doing work that was dragging me down. I wasn't happy. I wasn't doing things within my unique ability. I was doing things really that I was really, really good at. They made me money, but I wasn't happy with. They drained my energy. They didn't give me energy. So I took out a piece of paper. I wrote all those things down. What gives me energy? What drains energy? What makes me money? What doesn't? And every single quarter from there out, and I still do it today, I do that same thing. And I pick one or two things from the things that drain my energy that I'm doing, and I find ways to not do them anymore. And I pick one or two things from things that give me energy, but I'm not doing enough of, and I find time in my schedule to do more of those. And that was shift number 7, unique ability. Find your unique ability, the things that you're great at, you could be world-class at if you worked on them hard enough, but they give you energy. This right here, this podcast, this gives me energy. Do I make money doing this? I didn't see how I could years ago, but now we are, because we drive people to our software. We drive people to our products. We drive people to our core values, and we attract the client who believes in what we believe in, who believes in us that we can take you to where we've gone and where you can go. Okay, so find your unique ability. There's a great book by a guy named Dan Sullivan. Look it up, called Unique Ability. His company is called Strategic Coach. Find it. It's $20-$30. Read it and work your butt off over the next couple of years writing those lists. What gives me energy when I'm done doing it? What subtracts energy when I'm done doing it? What do I love? What do I don't? What makes me money? What doesn't? What makes me happy? What doesn't? And continually, every single quarter, take the stuff on the right side, the stuff that yanks energy out, the stuff you don't like to do, the stuff that doesn't make you money directly doing it, and move and get rid of those. Outsource them. Find someone to do them. Listen to our other podcasts on outsourcing and hiring, and then do more of those other things every single quarter. Last thing, number 7, the phase that I'm in right now is the leader phase. I was always a solo entrepreneur before and just doing things on my own, thinking that that was the ticket. Hey, employees are a pain in the butt, I thought, because I learned that from observing other businesses around me and what the founders said about them. And, you know, basically, I thought that by having less people to be accountable to, I'd be happier. I didn't want a big payroll. All these things in my mind equaled, I don't want to build a team. But what I found as I went through and flipped my risk profile and became a go-giver and became great at marketing and recognized my mortality and decluttered and focused on the big thing and shift my purpose that year and to focus on doing the best I could do that year at one thing and the best I could do at everything in my life. And then I found my unique ability, which took about a year and a half. And I started to every single quarter work more of my schedule toward unique ability and less toward things that drain me. I realized I've got a bigger vision for things. I really want to go out there and take things in a new direction. I really want to make big things happen. I think I can impact people in a massive way. And this is what I love, but I can't do it alone. And that is where I shift my mindset in about 2014, 2015 to let's build a team. Let's build a team. Let's make it so it's great. Let's make it so those team members are amazing and I can amplify those team members here. And I can't do that without becoming a better leader. So I hired a leadership coach. about a year ago, $2,500 a month, comes into my office every other week, and we hop on the phone the other weeks. And that leadership coach has helped coach me up. He's coaching other people on our team up. And now it's my job, and I really love it, going out there and working with my team members to coach them up as bigger leaders. We actually, in fact, this last week, we've had some bumpy things in our business on some parts of the business because I ignored them. Relationship wise, that's all on me. That's on me becoming a better leader. And I ignored these amazing people on our team. I thought that they were just running and doing awesome. And I didn't ask the right questions, and I didn't do the things that I should have done. I just made a lot of assumptions, and that's all on me. That's on me learning to be a better leader, making those shifts and recognizing those things and creating the environment where people feel comfortable. They can tell me those things. And we started this last week on that team that's having some bumps, and we need to really hone it in. We started reading this book, Developing the Leader Within. And I highly suggest anyone who's on a leadership kick, you buy that book, Developing the Leader Within. Read it. Read it with yourself. Read it with your spouse. Read it with anyone around you that you feel needs to be or wants to be a better leader, whether it's at home or in business. Become a better leader. I heard a great quote recently, then we'll wrap this podcast up, that basically going it alone got you where you are, but going to where you want to go has got to be with a team. It's got to be with people. Okay, people are how you make your biggest impact, not solo. So let me recap really quick. Risk, you know, flip your risk profile. Be a go-giver, not a taker. Become great at marketing. Be a steward at marketing. Recognize your mortality. You're not going to be around forever. You know, have that create urgency within you. Declutter your life, the small things and the big things. Focus on one big thing this year. Okay, don't go and jump course. If I would have jumped course 8 months in when Carrot wasn't working, we wouldn't be where we were today. I committed to focus on this company for a solid 12 months, busting my butt, even if it didn't make us any money. And I'm like, only then will I reevaluate if we're not going to do this business. Okay. Next was shift my purpose, find my unique ability, and actively every quarter shift more of my work hours over toward unique ability. Go from 20% of your time to unique ability and 80% stuff you suck at or hate at to 70% your unique ability, which I'm probably around 60 or 70% of my time today is spent in my unique ability now, and I love it. I still have some other things I need to get off of that. And the last, become a better leader and foster better leaders around you, because you cannot reach your purpose. You cannot make the impact without others around you. All right. So hopefully this meant something to you. Write those down, put them on your wall, find what's going to unlock the next phase for you. Those 7 or 8 things were the things that unlocked those next phases for me. Now, I don't know what the next phase is for me. I've got a decent idea because I've got great mentors around me now and they've been through it, but I'm going to have to find and recognize those things to unlock that next level. And I'm going through some good struggles right now as growing and as a leader and hit some bumps and bruises there that I'm tackling. But the thing is, recognize life is a series of stages and events that unfold. Oftentimes those triggers happen because of an external circumstance or a mindset shift that you've got to make. But understand, you can get exactly where you want to go in life. You've just got to focus on unlocking that next level. And I think these exact shifts and these exact levels are exactly what you and many people listening to this need. Okay. Check out the other episodes of the Carrot Cast at carrotcast.com. And please, 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 if you enjoyed this episode, go over to iTunes and give us a rating and review. Once again, the first 10 people are going to get the book, The Go Giver. Just email me, trevor@oncarrot.com, your address, and let me know that you made that rating and review after you heard this podcast. It can't be one you did 2 months ago. It's got to be the first 10, the second that this podcast hits the airs, the next 10 ratings are going to get that book, that email me, okay? Even if you don't get the book, please head over there, give a rating and review. That's what helps other people find our message, and it really is oxygen for me getting this message out there, all right? Have an amazing rest of the week. Go crush it. Unlock that next level for you, and if you're not a Carrot customer yet and you want more of this and you want to leverage our system, go to oncarrot.com/plans or demo and check us out. Either way, we love having you here with us in the Carrot community. We'll talk soon.